Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come, fill us. Pour down your fresh anointing on us, and then our soul will be opened by you, and that we can feel the presence of our Lord here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ted. Yeah, and thank you, Pastor Douglas, for giving me this honor to preach. And today I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about the power of prayer. So we have been praying, for the past half an hour of experiencing the power of prayer. Maybe a few days later, or maybe this evening, John will find the diamond ring. You never know. But I know that Theo, 2 years ago, he lost his passport in Vancouver. So I just invited Theo to come to witness what happened, And we were shocked, while we were having dinner, and they, where's Theo? Oh, he lost his passport. And going back to the campsite, I said, what?
So I was in Vancouver for a retreat at Bishop Silas's with their church at a campsite. And we were driving back, and I reached into my backpack to get my wallet. And I said, oh my gosh, my passport is missing. And it was kind of a big deal because it wasn't just my passport. I had put it in a small black pouch, and it had my driver's license in there as well. And so I lost the whole thing, and I was kind of freaking out because it was 45 minutes away, and we had to go to dinner with Bishop Silas. And so I had to get the contact of a brother from the church who lived close to the campsite. And so we were just like praying. It was probably the worst 3 hours of my life because my flight was the next day, and I said, I have to get back to America. Canada's nice. I had some plans though, but yeah, we were praying. And when I called the staff, they said, oh, where do you think you lost it? Like, we'll send some staff over. And then 45 minutes later, they called back and they said, no, we didn't see anything. And I said, what? Like, I'm trying to think of all the places it could be. And then the brother from the church went with the staff. And then we got a call later. They said, we found it. And we said, oh my goodness. And he drove 45 minutes to join us at the dinner site. And he told us, when I had called, the staff looked and they said, we didn't find anything. And then when he arrived, he and the staff went and looked together. And then before they looked, he said, let's pray. And then they prayed together with the staff. And then they went again. And there was my black pouch. They had looked all over the area and they couldn't find it. But then when they went again, they found it. And I said, thank God, because then I can go back to the US. But I also had my driver's license. It was a huge weekend full of other miracles as well. But I really praise God because it was very divine. He opened up their eyes.
Wow. And it's a very, very good introduction, to my sermon, because I think we need vivid and lively testimony. And I still remember the time that when we knew this, and then we were in the Chinese restaurant, right? And then I think I was one of a few people pray. Yeah, and I pray that the Holy Spirit opened the eyes, of our brother to see. And then it's in 15 minutes. Hello, William. Yeah, that's my cousin. Yeah, come. Michelle is here. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then 15 minutes later, wow, it's found. Impossible. And actually, I promised Theo that I said, well, usually if you lost your passport and you need to go to the U.S. Embassy, maybe you can get it in 4 to 5 days' time, but never mind, I'll pay your hotel fee, and then I'll pay breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you can be with us, and then you come to our 6 a.m., time with Abba, and Fota, 7 a.m. every day. He said, oh, really? I said, yeah. But we lost this chance. He found his passport and he left in the morning. So, praise the Lord that we have something very touching about prayer. and the power of prayer. You may think that is a coincidence, but let me tell you, when we really dare to pray, there will be lots of coincidence happened. Lots of coincidence. You know, oh, the Holy Spirit just remind me of, I lost this wedding ring for about 3 months. I didn't tell my wife. It's terrible. So 3 months, and then I hide my finger. And then, but I forgot to pray. That's many years ago. I think maybe more than 10 years ago. So one day, I said, wow, I forgot to pray. And I said, oh, Lord, forgive me because I did not pray. And then I pray. You know what? The Holy Spirit gave me a vision of while I was sleeping, my hand was like this. And then, what? And then, really? And then I went to the bed, and then I found it, you know, in the middle of that mattress is my wedding ring. Yeah. So that's the Holy Spirit, if you believe it, you know. So, prayer and power. 3 weeks ago, we had a full-time pastor from a short-term mission, Vancouver Chinese short-term mission, Sam. He came to our church to be the speaker of a talk. Actually, it's organized by his organization. So every second Thursday, we had a kind of a talk to the career people. So he shared with us that he could not sleep for 1 month. 1 month. And he went to see doctors, and the doctor gave him sleeping pill, and he couldn't sleep even with sleeping pill. And then the organization asked him to have his sick leave. So he was having his sick leave for 1 week. And he was very worried. And I look at him, you know, I look at him. Just like Peter and John in Acts 3, you know, look at the cripple, you know, look at him, stare at him. And I said, well, Sam, I can help you. He said, look at me. I said, oh, I know what you're talking about. You are inviting me to your 6 a.m. time with Abba. I said, well, why not? You know, you are in sick leave and the doctor couldn't help you, you know, for 1 month. Even sleeping pill. Well, why not come tomorrow? Look at me. Okay. If God wake me up tomorrow at around 5, and I'll come at 6 a.m. I said, no. I said, no. This is tempting God. All right? This is wrong. If you really come, you have to set your alarm. Like me, okay, and my wife, every morning we set the alarm 10 minutes past 5. Right? And so he said, he looked at me, and he didn't say anything. I know he won't come, all right? Then next morning, 5:56, he was there. I said, Sam, wow, what happened? Miracle. I said, what? You know, I did not take any sleeping pill last night, and I pray, and then I set my alarm at 5:15. You know, God woke me up at 5 a.m. And then I'm here. So he continuously came to our time with Abba 6 a.m. I think for 2 weeks until maybe 5 days ago. Yeah, maybe he was becoming, you know. And I hope, yeah, that I can find him there maybe Tuesday morning. So that's just happened. Just happened about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And then last Tuesday, when we were having breakfast after our time with Abba 6 a.m. and then 7 a.m., the communion and full term, in our church cafe, we were having breakfast. And a young adult came from Hong Kong to visit his 82-year-old father, Raymond. And he joined our 6 a.m. Time with Abba for a week. So last Tuesday was his last day with us. And then he went back to Hong Kong last Wednesday. So I asked him, what have you experienced the past 6 days? So Lawrence Yao is around, I think he's 40 years of age, and he wrote more than 100 books as textbook for schools in Hong Kong, kindergarten. 100 books. He is also a publisher. So he said, well, you know, the past few months, I have become more and more complicated. I wrote down my to-do list, and the list become more and more complicated and long, and more things to do that I found out I cannot do that. It's too complicated. But after the past week of time with Abba, my to-do list is only one word. I think, wow, what is it? Prayer. Wow. It's powerful, you know? And it just happened 5 days ago. So, praise the Lord that only 6 days of time with Abba changed his life from a long list to only one word. So, how many words for you in your to-do list when you just heard what I said? Think about that. In your to-do list, how many words? For me, it's 2 words. Next one, prayer and Word of God. 2 words, prayer and Word of God. Well, you know, the Lord used 37 years to lead me to catch these 2 words. 37 years. Wow, that's a long time. And to experience the power of these 2 words, prayer, Word. So let me share with you my major milestone. So my topic today is prayer, power, and milestones. So I will invite you also to think of your milestones. Okay? Bob, Bob, Bob. How many steps in your life that our Lord Jesus Christ have done in your life to make you sitting here? To make you a man and a woman of prayer, if you are. So, for me, I don't have much time. So I have so many milestones, okay? I can talk maybe for 3 hours and then you all sleep. So I pick 3 major milestones. One, next one is 1981. 1981, prayer. 1981, I was quite young, 20-something. I'm 64 now. I just had my birthday 3 days ago. 3 days ago, 64. So in 1981, I was a young man working in the Hong Kong government as a music officer. I'm a musician, a professional choral conductor, and then God called me to leave the music field to seminary and become a pastor because I had been worshiping music as my God. But God told me, well, you worship me, and music is a tool to lead people to come to me. And then my life changed. And so in 1981, I was a very complicated young man, I was a choir conductor of my church choir, and I found out that there was something wrong in my life, in my lifestyle, in my life, very rotten, very bad, doing lots of not good things. And so quite a number of our choir members have been kind of arguing about our faith. Why we as Christians do not have the lifestyle of a Christian? while we as Christians is just like religious people, and with a mask, coming to the church, it's good guy, and then leaving church, you know, take off your mask, and bad guy. So, wow, we were arguing for maybe at least 8 months. 8 months. And in 1981, there was a night we had seven young men sharing and arguing as usual of our faith. I think it's in around 10:30 p.m. in a kind of public place, in a kind of garden, actually. So when they were arguing, that's the first time in my life that I heard the Lord call my Chinese name, Ng Tak Yin. Okay, my Chinese name is Tak Yin Ng, Ng Tak Yin. He called me, Ng Tak Yin, Ng Tak Yin. And he said, you know, you have been arguing faith for more than half a year. It's useless. Tell him to pray, and I will tell you. Guys, I was shocked. So I think that's my first milestone of changing from rational arguing, lots of things, and just to pray. And then a young man looked at me, and he sensed that there was something wrong. And he said, what? I said, well, you know, my name. I said, okay, let's pray. You know, how long did we pray? We prayed for 2 hours until I think 12:30 a.m. or 1 a.m. 2 hours, what did we pray? I think it's the Holy Spirit. We confess our sins. We were in tears and just like mourning the death of our beloved one. It's just, yeah, we were confessing for 2 hours. Of our sins. That's terrible and wonderful. So that's my first milestone of the Lord changing me not to use my intellect, but to pray. And God will tell us what really happened in our life. So through prayer, and then I have quite a number of major change of transformation, casting off all my idols, all kinds of idols, and that called me to go to seminary and prepare myself to be a pastor. So that's from 1981. Second one is 18 years later. Is it 18 or 20? It's how many years? 1981. Yeah, 28 years later. Yeah, it's 28 years later. So in year 2009, I got another word. That's prayer and then word. So for the past 28 years, I am a man of prayer. But another major shift happened in my life. Prayer and word. Because on that year, in that year, I received an appointment that I was going to become a bishop. A bishop is is the leader of pastors. So I had to take care of 15 churches and about 20 something pastors, and I was very frightened, you know. So far as I knew at that time, a bishop to me is they are administrators, you know. They are high rank, kiss my ring. You know, the Anglican bishops, you know. And I don't like that. I don't like that, you know. And I don't like to be an administrator. And then I pray very hard. I said, Lord, I don't want to do this, but the reality is I am that person that you appointed. And what do you want me to do? I literally pray like this. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said, open your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 6, verse 4. So I opened it, and then I read it. All the apostles, actually apostles is the same as bishops, okay? All the apostles, they were running around to administer to the needy and doing lots of administrative work. And then suddenly they found out, no, we as apostles should not do this. Our main focus is we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then they appointed 7 deacons to let those deacons to do the administrative work. But they, as bishop, as apostles, only to do 2 things. That's prayer and the ministry of the word of God. So God said, I just want you to do this. And so actually for the past 9 years, I have been doing this. I let go of my administrating business to my colleagues that they have administrative skill. I do not have that, you know. And my main focus and role is to lead our pastors and people really to learn how to pray, really to experience the power of the Word of God. So that's I've been doing since 2009, and I thought that I was quite all right, but not all right. So my third milestone is 2015. Now you know in 2012, that is 6 years ago, I came here. And then to the Alliance Church, that your this is a church plant, right? St. Jose Alliance Church. So I was there this morning, and 2012, God led. That Michelle and I knew Pastor Abraham Poon and Lillian Poon. And so after service, Kitty, first cousin, and Gin San, I think you were there, and we went to lunch. And then Abraham and Lillian said, you know, Silas, well, it's good to know someone from Vancouver, because we were having a PCS in Vancouver, and the Best Western Hotel just had a double homicide. So it's not a good idea, you know, to have a PCS that they have a double homicide. So we were planning to move to your area, Richmond, and what do you think? So long story cut short. So the PCS in 2012 was in Richmond Hilton Hotel, and then he asked me to join the PCS, and then I said, "What is PCS?" You know, and I look at them. You want me to cast away my cell phone and my computer for 5 days, 4 nights? Yeah. I think about that. No, kidding. You are kidding. So I didn't react. And I asked one of the lady, and her name is Alice Wong. I said, Alice, you really need that. Because she really need that. So she went, all right? Instead of me. Well, I was quite relieved, because at least I, as an agent, you know, could have one people from my church. So Alice became the first one to attend PCS. Wow, and then the bad things come. That's the most wonderful good things in my life. And then Abraham and Lillian came about 2 years later because I invite them to be the speaker of our summer camp. So after summer camp, he said, "Well, Silas, you know, good news. You know, we signed contract with Sheraton Hotel just next to your church, all right? Just 1 minute of walk. Three years of contract. And are you coming?" I said, "Of course, yes, of course. You know, it's just next by. How can I not come? You know," and that was July, actually. And after that, I was quite chicken, you know. And then I said, "Well, okay." And then I found five people, not one, okay? I found five people. And I wrote to Lillian and Abraham. I said, "Wow, good news. I found five people for you. Good news. But you know, I as a bishop, you know, I'm really too busy. You understand. So maybe not this time." Okay, you know what happened? The first time in my life, I received an email that is so rude. Very rude. I think in maybe 2 hours' time, start with, "Dear Silas, we received your message and we were very disappointed at you. You know, if you don't come, we are only scratching the head of your church. We cannot help you. You are the leader. You have to come. You have to repent. And you have to come." Literally, I was very angry, actually. Very angry for an hour. And then I pray. The Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit pointed out that I was wrong. And I was in tears, and I said, "I'm sorry." So I repent, and then I wrote a message to them. I said, "I'm so sorry, Lillian and Abraham. I will come." The most shocking things happened in an hour, and they replied. They said, "Silas, you know, we thought that we enraged you. So when your email came in, we were very frightened. So we did not open your email, and we had a 2 hours time with Abba before we opened your email. And we found out that you are such a humble person," and so and so. And so. And then I think we become very, very good friends. And I think Lillian and Abraham, they are my brother and sister, like bloodline. So that's my kind of milestone that the Lord changed me from not thinking rational think to reason who God is, but to pray and let God to tell me. After 28 years of praying and struggling, and that the Lord opened my eyes of how the Holy Spirit opened the apostles' eyes, that you guys are not right. You know, apostles' main job is to lead people in prayers and the word. So, next one. So you can see after that, our church is like this. You know, before that, we had only one prayer meeting every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. You know, I think I have some research all over the world that actually I got my research in my new book just published 1 week ago. So actually, I would like you to just hold it and bless this book to be a book that can help people to rediscover Jesus' way of kingdom growth. That's called Micro-Macro Discipling. I found out that from Jesus' parable of the growing seed, that Jesus says, you know, the seed is the word of God. Start from stalk, unnoticeable, to the head, to the full kernel and then harvest. So the whole world is having programs and all kinds of mega talks, mega church, all kinds of things, and church planting is good. But lots of churches are without lots of people are not having daily devotion. Lots of Christians, including pastors, they do not even open the Bible maybe for half an hour a day, you know, and they don't have disciples to walk with them, just like Jesus walked with Peter, John, and James for 3 years. So this is my finding. So I would like you to just hold this book for a while and then bless it. And because that's the power of prayer. You know, you have so many people. So just pray and then, while listening to, hold it for maybe 10 seconds and then pass to the other person. So we start daily time with Abba 2 years and 8 months ago. Before that, we had only one prayer meeting, 9 a.m. We couldn't find any people to come. Just one time weekly, only 10 people, 12 people, at most 15 people. But now you know what happened? Every morning at 6 a.m., we have around 20, 30 people every morning. And Saturday morning, 9 a.m., we have quite a number of people. And more people come. You can see the time with Abba, daily 6 a.m. We have people, and then we have worship, we have communion at 7 a.m. And next one, And then we have time with Abba in our summer camp that Pastor Elliot was our speaker for 2 times, next one. And we are creating a culture of listening space to even young children. Now our church, our family pastor, that is Pastor Iggy, our elder son, he is creating a new culture that even young children are having time with Abba. And next one. And even with moms, we have time with Abba with mom, mothers. Next one. And this is how we are having our time with Abba every morning at 6 a.m. People come here and just enjoy the time with our Lord. Next one. And then, we brew ram horns, you know. Each morning we have at least maybe 10 ram horns. And then during the worship, it's it's very powerful. And you see the little girl. That's my granddaughter Zoe. Yeah, very cute, huh? And so she came to worship with us, and she sang. And I think she can speak in tongues actually. Yeah. Okay. Next one. See, with our elder son Iggy and our daughter-in-law Anna, they pray together. Iggy teach his daughter to prostrate on the floor to pray. Wow, so this is what is happening now. Next one. So my sermon is just 3 words. Prayer, power, and milestones. If you really experience the power of prayer, and then you will know that God will lead your life in different stages, closer and closer to God. And then your life will be a blessing to many people. You know, last night we were having dinner in our cousin Kitty's and her husband Michael's home. And after dinner, we and the other two cousins, William is here, and our elder cousin Alan, he was here. Yeah, we had a very, very good time to pray for maybe 1.5 hours. Actually, we had a very deep, like what Pastor Ted said, surgical, what was your word? Yeah, deep surgery. Actually, we had a deep surgery, spiritual surgery last night. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we give thanks to you because when you came on that day of Pentecost, you changed the life of so many people. And that 3,000 people came into faith and they lead a new culture, a new lifestyle. And because of that, we can see the growth of the early church. But because of the huge growth that apostles, they were running around doing all kinds of things. But what you need your children to do is to pray and to experience the power of your word and the power of prayer. So come, Lord Jesus, challenge us of how much time we spend each day to be with you. How much time we spend with our cell phone and our computer and our works. That because of our spending too much time on those maybe not so important things that make us strengthless, powerless. There are so many people in anxiety, deep anxiety, and even in depression, and even in suicidal thoughts. Forgive us because we do not turn our eyes to you each day. So challenge us, Holy Spirit, challenge us today. Of how we, as your children, today, of what is the next step when we live this church today back home, what is our next step? To re-establish or to strengthen our prayer life with you and to dip in your word each day so that our character can be changed, so that our lifestyle can be changed, and that we are no more religious people just coming to church once a week, enjoying this kind of entertainment, and then have another entertainment. But we are your disciples. Yes. And you will use us to release people from their anxiety, from their depression, and that they can really experience salvation, the freedom, and the power of the Holy Spirit that is in prayer and in your word and in your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Fill us now. So I invite you to stand and to lift up your hands. Just to stand and to lift up your hands to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fresh anointing, because we need the fresh anointing. We are not able to do this. Yeah, we are not able to do this. Only the Holy Spirit can help us, yeah, to pull us back to that intimate relationship with the Lord. So just have a moment of silence and open your hands to receive this fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit now. Now just close your eyes and feel the warmth of maybe your palm. And we can put our palms up, or we can surrender position. Actually, the prayer posture actually is a surrender position. Yeah, it's a worship position. It's a lying down on the floor position. So what